Keith Ellison is Minnesota Attorney General. His job is to serve Minnesotans and allow them to afford their lives and live with dignity, safety, and respect. Attorney General Keith Ellison is back with us on KAXE and KBXE and got a nice set of music going to get him going right there. What do you think of that one?
Love it, man. Outstanding. Way to start a Friday morning.
Yeah, that's Minnesota's own Jose James off his new album. The song was called Turn Me Up. Well, thank you for being back with us, and we want to get into some of the things you and your office have been working on. But first, I'm sort of curious. So you've been in this position as Attorney General for a while now, but you've also served the public in other roles in Congress and the Minnesota Legislature. Is this job what you thought it was going to be? Is it? Are you still well suited for it? What are you thinking at this point in the job?
I love it. It's what's better than to serve your neighbors? You know, it's an opportunity to be of service to people all over the great state of Minnesota, and I just feel it's a tremendous privilege, and I'm honored to be doing it.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the things going on in the state of Minnesota. First, yesterday was a big day. The governor, Tim Walz, signed the police reform bill that became law. We're going to listen to a clip right now from Melissa Hortman.
It's a critical step forward to preserve the safety of members of our community, but also to preserve the safety of the law enforcement community. These measures will enhance community trust by showing that we're responding to the people who took to the streets and said, no justice, no peace. This is a step forward for justice. So this is a beginning. It's an important step. It's not the end of the journey.
That's Minnesota Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman. Your thoughts on that?
I think it was a very good and important step. I was proud that the legislature passed it on a bipartisan basis. You know, the Senate is the majority are Republicans and the House is majority Democrat. So it took cooperation to get it done. And so things like banning chokeholds, which we know are associated with, you know, death and you know, having reform around arbitration, officer wellness, very important officer wellness measures to make sure that the officers that we ask to protect and serve us get the care that they need to be at their maximum ability. All these things are critical. Last year, 2019, myself and the Commissioner of Public Safety, John Harrington, teamed up to co-lead a group called Reducing Deadly Force Encounters with Police. We had law enforcement on the working group. We had citizens on it. And we had a series of discussions in Bemidji, Cloquet, you know, Worthington, Mankato, and the Twin Cities. And we came up with a lot of the recommendations that eventually made it into the bill. And so I think it's a good thing, and I'm really proud that a lot of members of law enforcement were supportive of it because they know what they need to be effective. And I think it's important and responsive to citizens who really have had, you know, some issues that needed to be worked out. So I think it's a very positive thing, and I won't solve everything. There will be issues in the future, but I think that we'll be much better off.
Is there part of it that has to do with if there have been issues with, I don't know the words to explain this exactly right, but issues with a police officer that once they apply for another job, it will follow them so that people know? Can you explain that a little bit?
Look, policing, it takes a special kind of person. Not anybody can do it. And some people who get into the field, it comes clear that they're not right for the job. Those folks who have demonstrated problems with honesty or impulse control or following rules, they shouldn't be able to just go to another department. And there should be some track record that follows them like there is in any other profession. Certainly, if you're an airplane pilot or a doctor or a lawyer, you know, you can't just leave your mistakes behind. You're going to have to, there will be a record. And the reform measures here, I think, will be good. It'll inform the new department of prior issues that really do need to be addressed.
Let's talk about some of the issues having to do with coronavirus and the pandemic. We've talked to you before about scams and that kind of thing, and also want to hear a little more on evictions.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
So, you know, housing is a big issue. Even before the pandemic, I believe we were in a housing shortage. We hadn't really built much in the way of public housing in many years, and the housing that we designed for low-income people and try to help them so that they can have a good place to live and work. We really haven't, those investments haven't been keeping up with the need. And so, you know, when Corona hit, it just made everything a little worse. Now, that's why we passed this eviction moratorium. That eviction moratorium has been in place for a while now, but there we are starting to make adjustments to it. And when it does finally get lifted, you're going to have a lot of, you know, you're going to have people who don't have the money. And so what we've done is work with banks and lending institutions to give some relief to landlords so that they can negotiate with tenants and that banks can negotiate with homeowners so that we don't have massive foreclosures and evictions when this thing lifts. Because if you have an unemployment rate of 10%, people, they're not going to have the money that they didn't have that prevented them from being evicted. So we've been doing a lot of work in this area. It is not lawful to evict people during the pandemic unless you meet certain exceptions, such as the person who's going to be evicted presents a danger to the other tenants. If you just don't have the money, try to pay it. Pay if you can pay, by all means. But if you can't, for now, you're not going to be evictable, but there is going to be a come be a time when that evictions are going to happen again, and we need to be on top of what we do about it because it could cause a lot of economic disruption.
Talking with Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, anything for us to be paying attention to when it comes to scams right now?
Yeah, you know, scams, they never take a break. You know, the people who do scams, you know, they're clever, they're agile, they change. The main thing to keep on the alert around scams is this, is that if you see something that's too good to be true, it probably is, you should complain to the Minnesota Attorney General's office online. You can go to ag.state.mn.us, or you can call 651-296-3353. We want to protect you economically and keep your money in your pocket and in your family's budget. And we don't want some scammer getting your money. So please work with us. If you find yourself the victim of an internet scam, let us know. But we're also working with U.S. Attorney Erica McDonald and the FBI, who have a national database that helps them find online scammers. And so we're teaming up to protect the public. So please let us know about that. That's 651-296-3353 and ag.mn.us. You can file a complaint online. You can upload documents that will be helpful to us so you don't have to worry about coming into the office and putting yourself at risk during the pandemic.
So without divulging some of these names, what are some of the scams? Are we still talking like masks and things like that?
Well, those are the price gouging scams. But we still are seeing a lot of online scams, people promising that, oh, if you take this stuff, it'll prevent COVID or it'll cure COVID. That's a lie. There is no vaccine yet. There are people who are saying that if you do certain medical practices that you won't get COVID. We continue to get those calls, and we continue to go after these folks. And so, again, over-promising things that simply are not medically possible right now. That's there. We did go through a real scare when it came to people's stimulus checks. We kept a lot of money in people's pockets because we were able to work with the community to protect that. But we expect that there will be more concerns as the days go on. The regular scams have not stopped. A lot of the online scams, overpromising. I'll say that a lot of the price gouging has cooled down because as the price gougers have learned that we're not going to put up with that, they've stopped doing it. But and also as consumers know that, you know, if, I mean, a lot of people who try to go buy all the toilet tissue, they know that there's enough toilet tissue so you don't have to hoard it anymore. So that some of those things really have gotten better. But, again, the regular everyday scams are still going on, and COVID-related scams are going on too. But mostly that's with the overpromising and the false advertising around cures and treatments and therapy.
You filed on behalf of Minnesota that has to do with climate change and oil companies like ExxonMobil and Koch Industries and the American Petroleum Institute. What's going on there?
Well, they lied. They know, and they were well aware, that burning fossil fuels cause massive climate disruption. They know that. Their internal documents show that they knew. When the public got wind of it, the public started raising concerns, and then they put out a campaign to say that it was all lies. They said, oh, they compared people who were raising issues around climate to Chicken Little, to saying that the biggest thing about climate change is that it's not real. And we can show that while they were campaigning this way, literally lying to the public, they had internal documents showing and proving that climate, which, you know, was being impacted by man-made sources, human sources, and it was burning fossil fuels. So we're not suing them for an environmental-related statute. We're suing them for consumer fraud and false advertising, which we can prove. And we're getting after them, and we're going to make sure that they tell the truth. We're going to try to disgorge their ill-gotten gains, and we're going to make them correct the record and stop telling those stories and actually go on an affirmative truth campaign where they will say, yes, fossil fuels certainly does cause climate disruption, and is going to have to be creative about ways that they fix this problem so that we can live in harmony with our planet. They know what they did. We can prove it, and we're going to prove it in court.
Forgive me if I've asked you this question before, Keith, but what happens to these fines? Where does the money go? Or maybe it's not even money. Maybe it's just...
It's money. I mean, it's not only money. We get injunctive relief, but we do get money. It goes to the general fund. Okay. It doesn't come back to the AG's office. The attorney general's office is a good bargain for the taxpayer. The money that we get we get money that we send back to consumers, and then we get money in the area of fines that goes to the general fund for the state, and it is far in excess of the budget of the attorney general's office. So we actually are a net provider of funds because of the money that we get in fines, holding people accountable, and, of course, we generate a lot of income back to people who have had it taken improperly.
Have other states had suits like this?
Yeah, but they haven't had they've had some trouble in some of those cases out there. New York had a case, and their case was based on a theory of investor interests, and their case has hit some snags in court, and there's been some cases in Rhode Island. Their cases are ongoing. But we feel very good about our case because it's a state-based case. We're not suing on federal statutes. We're suing on state ones. And we're not going to have any of these problems regarding, you know, causation, because what we're arguing is that they knew, they lied, and we can prove it. And that's basically our case, false advertising. So we feel very strong about our case. We feel confident that we're going to win on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota.
Well, let's talk about another issue you've been working on. It has to do with the Trump administration and their new visa rule for international students. Why did you want to do this? What did that mean for the state of Minnesota, and what happened?
So let me just tell everybody kind of what happened. So Betsy DeVos said that if you are an international student and you're here in the United States based on a student visa, if you are studying online because of COVID, you got to go home. You either got to be in the physical classroom or you got to go home. So we sued because we said that was irrational, didn't make any sense. It was discriminatory and unfair. And they didn't follow the something known as the Administrative Procedures Act, And we went to court with a group of other states, and then they backed down. They knew they were wrong. So we beat them before we even really got started. They started this practice. We challenged them in court, and then they backed down and said that they were not going to pursue it. And that's because they were wrong from the start. The policy never made any sense. We tried to explain it to them. They didn't listen. So we ended up taking the court, and, they backed down even before we started.
Yesterday on National Public Radio's Morning Edition, they were talking to a world leader. And at the end, they asked him about that he had studied in the United States and how that affected, the rest of his career. And he just said it made all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what does it mean to the state to have international people here studying?
It's very important. Let me tell you, when I was in Congress, I was in U.S. Congress, I was also on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And if you are on the Foreign Affairs Committee, it is your job to look after the interests of the United States abroad. And so we would go to different places, not on trips and junkets, but on doing hard work, 14 hours a day. And we would encounter people who would say, I was a student in University of Minnesota. I went to McAllister. I did. And they would tell you, my feeling about the United States is very strong, very positive because of that experience. And I bring that to my new role as foreign minister of various countries around the world. I was in Ghana at one time, and there's a very famous man who's now died. His name was Kofi Annan. He was the Secretary General of the United Nations. He did a lot of great things, but one of the things he did is he negotiated a peace in Kenya, which stopped warring factions from killing each other in the course of an election. Well, he went to McAllister College. Recently, when I was in Ghana, Accra, Ghana, I was talking to his son, who talked all about how his father's experience in St. Paul really set the groundwork for his diplomatic career. And I could talk about that over and over and over again. When you go, and we have one of our great Minnesotans is a guy named Sam Kaplan and his wife Sylvia, and they were ambassadors to Morocco. Well, when I was in Congress, I was in Morocco. How many older people came and said, I studied agronomy, agricultural science, at University of Minnesota and learned how to feed my country, but also do foreign trade with the United States. And how much love I have for the United States because of that experience. I'm telling you, it is these young people who are at Minnesota colleges and universities right now are going to go home and they're going to sing the praises of the United States. They're going to talk about things we could do better, and they're going to talk about things we're doing really well. And they're going to help people understand our country better, talk about the virtues, talk about some of the things that we're struggling with, as all countries are. But it is better to have people talking about our country from a position of knowledge. If you all will indulge me, I was in Kenya one time, and there was a time when AIDS was a disease that was life-ending. If you got AIDS, your life was numbered. You were going to die. And because of PEPFAR, under President Bush, a Republican, I'm a Democrat, but I'm proud to brag about that Republican president's program, they made AIDS go from a death sentence to a manageable disease, not that different from diabetes. You take your medicine, you'll live. And that helped stabilize that country economically. It helped that country revive and come back and be a nation that can contribute to its neighbors, feed itself, do foreign trade, be an ally to the United States. It is very bad policy to try to kick out foreign students. It just doesn't make any sense. Plus, they pay out of state tuition, and they usually pay full freight. So it's even economically bad for our colleges. So it's just it's a nonsensical policy. That's why we opposed it. And any administration can. And I don't care what party they come from. If they do dumb stuff, we're going to stop it.
Let alone, what it means to students from Minnesota to know international students.
And to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You meet somebody from Saudi Arabia. You may have only heard about this country in the news. Now you meet somebody from there. It broadens your horizons.
So, Keith, are you going to be able to chill, maybe put the phone on mute and listen and watch the Twins game tonight and just take a break? Or are you going to keep grinding?
You know what, man? I'm a man of burning passion. I'm going to keep working. I think I will. I will take this evening off to just maybe check out the game because I love the Twins. But there's so much to do, and I love doing the job, and I just see it as a tremendous honor to be able to be the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota and fight for the people of this state.
Well, and my question would have been, because the Minnesota Lynx play this weekend, that's what I'm looking forward to. So,
well, hey, you know, they tend to win. You know, they're always a favorite to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go? Are you gonna check out the game?
Of course.
In on the radio?
Yes, I will. Yeah. I love the Minnesota Lynx. That's Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison. Like he said, you can file a complaint online if you are seeing any scamming or things going on in your community. Find out more about the work of his office as well at ag.state.mn.us or call 651-296-3353. Thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. This is the Friday Morning Show on KEXE, KBXE. Don't forget, coming up at 11:30 today, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.